The Buckeyes are back to work, Big Ten style, a bloody Tuesday on tap at the Woody Hayes Athletic Center on the practice field. But before that, Ryan Day will be at the microphone for a Talking Tuesday, and it is time to get set, as we always do on the beat, on the Austin and Berm Show, with some questions that are on our mind this week. Can extend that to Wednesday night, maybe some players, and I don't know, that list hasn't been determined yet, so it could be more open-ended. But as you'll notice, Berm is here.
I'm going to try to talk like Adam King.
At the end of the day, Berm is here.
At the end of the day, all that matters is that my hair looks great.
Your hair does not look as good as
I know. It's so messed up how good his hair is. But that's what happens when you live a life of leisure and luxury and you get to sit, travel around the world and people just wait on you hand and foot.
Now, Adam King will be back in time for the Washington trip. We'll see him out there. We've got some content planned for 10TV. 97.1 The Fan with Adam the King while we're out there, including The Notebook and a pregame show that we will be doing at Husky Stadium. But he's not here for Talking Tuesday. So now it's a throwback version.
Yeah.
You're here, and I don't know, you've had an opportunity already to be the first question asked of Ryan Day in a press conference this year. What if you are Mike Basford, says, Berm, you're up first again, you're batting leadoff. What would be on your mind?
I mean, ultimately, it's about, from the mindset of a quarterback, how different is a road game when you've never played in one compared to a home game? And I know that Julian Sain has played plenty of road games in his high school career, and he's a guy that has been in big situations, obviously starting the season against the number one team in the country in Texas, but that's at home. That's when the crowd is on your side. That's when you can communicate easily. That's when you can have a conversation with your coach without having to hold your hands over your head. So ultimately, I think it's that. Like, there's going to be a moment on Saturday when Julian Sain looks uncomfortable, and that has not really been the case in his first three games at Ohio State. And so I guess from my vantage point, the question for Ryan Day is how comfortable are you with Julian Sain's ability to react to being uncomfortable? Which is probably not the way I would word the question. It's a little bit convoluted, but
How confident are you
when things get uncomfortable that he is able to quickly bounce back, because he has not really been tested in the first 3 weeks of the season for Ohio State. And it's been a little bit, you know, gradual opening up of the playbook week to week. And so this week I'm curious if they're going to dial that back a little bit, how they see that going. But ultimately, it's about the quarterback mindset more than anything else, whether it's travel, whether it's noise, whether it's, like I said, if the playbook gets a little bit shrunk, mm-hmm. how do you see Julian Sain's mindset?
And if you have to signal in from the sideline, the communication might be different. I mean, you're going to use the headsets, of course, but if it's too loud and Ohio State has to adjust and rely on, you know,
silent
four guys on the sideline signaling in, silent count, like snap count, all those things that could be different.
Like, I wouldn't be surprised if Washington, if something goes wrong and their audio isn't working there, there's headphone issues. Mm. I wouldn't be surprised if that happens. If I was in charge of a stadium like that, I would probably have a little bit of tomfoolery just possible, just outside of the reach of, like, they wouldn't do that on purpose, would they? But then they did.
Well, you're basically saying that you would do it on purpose.
I'm saying I would probably be okay in their situation if the audio wasn't working.
Yeah. I mean, they would have to turn it off for their own offense.
Yeah, that's okay. They don't need it.
Okay. Are you sure? That's their strength.
They don't need it as much.
All right. Interesting. I guess I would, because I've talked about this now going on a week and a half. Julian Sain's going on the road for the first time. First Big Ten opponent. Going to be loud. It's going to be hostile. It's going to be incredibly noisy. It's going to be difficult. He doesn't seem to me to be someone who is fazed by any of that. When your starting debut as a college football quarterback is against Texas, you already, and whether the crowd is behind you or not behind you in the horseshoe, that's a really talented team. You're doing it all for the first time. You understand the pressure that comes with playing in front of 100,000 people, whether they are making it more comfortable for you or not by not being at full throat when you're out there, it's still hard. So I think that I don't think it's going to be a struggle for him personally. And I guess I would ask Ryan Day, it's along the same lines that you're asking. It's like, are we making too big of a deal out of this being his first time on the road? And I think he'd probably say no, because Ohio State has to find something out about him.
I don't know. Like, there's a whole litany of ways that Ryan Day and his experience as a quarterback and his experience as a quarterback's coach and all of the different ways he can help a young quarterback. Like his experience, his way he sees the game, et cetera. But like Ryan Day played at New Hampshire, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Ryan Day is certainly not capable, I don't think, of expressing to Julian saying, hey, this is what it's going to be like when you get out there as the quarterback in this game. Because
you don't know until you know.
Right. So like that's not a situation where Ryan Day has the requisite experience to say, I've done it, you can do it too. This is a, well, Justin was able to do it, CJ was able to do it, Dwayne was able to do it, you can do it too. So I am interested in just how Ryan Day is approaching it, because it's rare. I mean, CJ Stroud's first game as a quarterback at Ohio State was on the road at Minnesota.
The Black Beowulfer.
Kyle McCord's first game as a full-time starter was at Indiana. It's rare that we
and get those games were not perfect.
Right, and they were. Now, again, this is game three. This is not game one. So you figure that there should be a little bit cleaner play. But I just think that has to be.
This is actually game number four.
Game number four. I don't count the Grambling Steak
game.
Oh, okay.
I didn't know that was what we're doing.
Do those count in the statistics?
Yes, they do.
Didn't they stop counting those FCS games in statistics for a while?
Not that I recall. Huh. That would make it very difficult.
Maybe that's like they didn't count in the BCS equations or something?
They were removing margin of victory and style points, and you couldn't have more than one FCS opponent.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I don't know exactly what you're talking
about.
Me
neither. I'm just making it up.
Yeah, I know. That's fine. You know what? Make up some more questions for Ryan Day.
I want to make sure that the Buckeyes got out of last week healthy. Now they had a lighter week of work. They certainly have their normal Tuesday, but then Wednesday, Thursday was probably not as aggressive as it's been. And then they got the weekend off. Make sure that everyone is coming out of that, figuring out where we are with Lorenzo Styles, because I think this game specifically against Washington and their three-headed monster on offense is going to be requiring the fully dimensional or multi-dimensional Ohio State defense, and that's what Lorenzo Styles brings and affords the opportunity for Caleb Downs and Jalen McClain to move around. So I think that's actually a more important injury than it would have been if we were heading into the Minnesota game.
Well, the nickel position has become so prevalent and so important, not just for how Ohio State is using the safeties, but also what it ties directly into what they're going to do with the linebacker personnel. And yeah, it's been fun to watch the creativity, what you've seen with Arvell Reese, Sonny Styles, the addition at times of Peyton Pierce, but that also goes hand in hand as Matt Patricia and James Laurinaitis and Matt Guerrieri and Tim Walton are piecing the puzzle together. It goes hand in hand. The nickel position is the leverage point for all of that. And healthy, not healthy, that impacts if you're going to have to move around Jermaine Matthews more, put Devin Sanchez in the game if you're talking about in the secondary. Could be a situation where you're influence what you're going to do with those three linebackers that I mentioned, or Riley Pettijohn is a fourth one. He's become really, Lorenzo Styles, really important. And we made this point last week, I think maybe on Wednesday on the Stock Watch. There's been one play that he wants back. The others have been all at a very high level.
Yeah.
And he's clearly earned the trust of that coaching staff. And it's not like Matt Patricia has to show any sort of allegiance to veterans, because you're seeing the playing time with Devin Sanchez being earned and given right away for a true freshman. I didn't think that was going to happen. So I don't think that this was a spot where Matt Patricia came in with a clean slate, best players are going to play, and Lorenzo Styles had unequivocally shown that he's that by the fact that he didn't come off the field at all against Texas. So if he is healthy, and all indications last week from both Sonny and Lorenzo when we talked to them after the Ohio game, was that he could have gone back in there and that he would be fine now with 2 weeks to get ready for Saturday. We'll see if everything stayed on track. Sometimes your recovery process can, as you can attest.
Yeah, you never know.
It fits and starts.
It's a wave. You ride the wave a little bit. But I would imagine that he was held out of practice, at least precautionary, on the bloody Tuesday last week. And now you rock and roll. But what Lorenzo Styles allows you to do with the rest of the defense is going to be so important against Washington, because they, more than maybe any other team Ohio State's going to face on their schedule this year, have the ability to run the ball and pass the ball. And so it's funny because, again, this is not a game that we were talking about in those terms a month ago.
Not at all.
But now you look at what they are doing with Damon Williams and Jonah Coleman and Denzel Boston. You've got all three levels of the offense and some pretty serious weapons. So that flexibility that Lorenzo Styles brings is pretty important. So whether it's him, whether it's making sure that there's nothing lingering with Kenyatta Jackson, who will obviously be important in this game, and having a veteran defensive end who's capable of maintaining rush lanes and that kind of stuff, as opposed to putting somebody younger out there that maybe it freewheels a little bit, that's important too. So
I think you have to include Edric Houston in that. I mentioned, and I don't know.
We don't know if he's been hurt. Like, something's been off. Like, we can all see it, right? I mean, something's been off.
So, yeah, what is that? How will he look coming out of this off day? And I mentioned it on Monday, and I'll reiterate it again here today. Like, we don't know. He's not been on the availability report. He's not even been listed as questionable. The way that they talked about him throughout camp was that he dodged that bullet, with the knee, with the lower leg situation, and got back to a full contact work by the middle of camp. But, you know, you look at the production right now, it's not what we anticipated. Tywan Malone, is that a reflection of Edric going, maybe spinning his wheels a little bit or working back through the injury? A legitimate push from Tywan Malone? Some combination of both?
Yeah.
Neither? I mean, I don't know. We probably won't get clarity on that. I'd love to get more. Ryan Day sort of focused more primarily on Tywan Malone and not the injury situation, and I am aware, I've covered him now into the seventh season as a head coach, that it's not going to do me any good to ask if Edric is banged up or has been banged up. Sometimes you try anyway, just to get a little feel for that situation. But last week he was really complimentary of what Tywan Malone was doing. And no matter who it is, they're going to have to be aware, because the one thing that you see from Washington at quarterback, and Matt Patricia's not just, it doesn't seem to me like someone who's idly praising or hyperbolizing the talent they're about to face. I think it was very clear early in last week, with 2 weeks to prepare, that the Kyler Murray comparison was intentional.
Yeah.
And so you brought up Kenyatta Jackson. I think the same would be true for both the combination of Edric Houston and Tywan Malone. Like, those guys are going to need to be healthy and at their best, because that is an athlete that can run away from you.
Yeah, and this is the first time that Ohio State is going to have to choose to have a travel roster for this year. So
Sure. You
don't know how deep they're going to go with defensive tackle. Are they going to take 6 guys out there at defensive tackle? Maybe, but there's going to be some questions that have to be asked there. If someone isn't fully healthy, then do they go? I mean, those are the questions. Again, we don't have any reason to think Edric is not healthy to that degree, but something just didn't seem right.
He played, he got in there, he was with Caden McDonald in the third quarter. I just think, as you said, it doesn't feel like he is at the level that we anticipated seeing from him, and the way he was playing in spring practice. Like, that was what elevated the conversation around him, factoring in, of course, the recruiting pedigree and all the other things of what you were anticipating. But, you know, I think Ohio State would certainly want to see more. It could be tied into the penalties and the injury could be irrelevant at this point. I don't know. But it certainly has my attention, because Ohio State is going to need to be able to stay disciplined and not just control the rush lanes, but also to run with Damon Williams.
Yeah, for sure. Another thing I'm kind of wondering about, and maybe it means nothing, maybe it does, I don't know. Does it matter who the starting running back is? Like, does it matter? Is the conversation that we're having in the media far too, like, intensive, that maybe doesn't need to be, Bo Jackson's got to be the guy, but this week it's James Peoples running? Like, does it matter if all three of them are going to play? How much of that is Ohio State just kind of riding the momentum in game for each guy? How much of it is establishing, we want this to be the guy? Like, how do these three guys bring different things? What are they doing differently? And does it matter who the starter is? And again, I'm not sure if I'm, this is the reason we do these shows, because we're formulating how to ask these questions now. but that's certainly something I'm wondering about, because I think it's probably been made a little bit too big of a deal about, like, how different Bo Jackson has looked. And I completely agree that he's looked different than James Peoples and CJ Donaldson. But there has to be something those other guys provide that he doesn't. Otherwise, this wouldn't be a conversation at all, right?
Yeah, and the more that I think about it, the less that it matters who takes the first carry.
Who gets the most carries.
It is if you have a starting level workload. And I don't anticipate that means any of the three are going to get to a point of 20 to 25 carries a game. Ohio State has personified, exemplified a year ago by Quinshon Judkins and Travion Henderson, is embracing this backfield. It's not even by committee. It is by a 1-2 punch, yeah, by Sonic and Knuckles, by Thunder and Lightning, by whatever.
How if there's three of them now, is it Thunder, Lightning,
but
and
see, that's
and Hail?
Where I'm thinking about Wind, perhaps.
Yeah. Earth, Wind, and Fire.
There you go. There it is. We got it. I don't think that for all this talk about keeping guys healthy, having different options, different roles, I don't know that Ohio State wants to get in a situation where it becomes a three-man, like more of a more of that committee. I think you have a actual committee if you have three people,
yeah,
right?
Because there's danger in that, right? I mean, if you have three guys that you're trying to split up carries between the three of them, once you get into real games that are not against Appalachian State or Grambling State or Ohio or whatever, like once you get into these games, you have to let your running backs get into a rhythm. You have to let these guys get into the flow of the game, and I think that there is a risk that you're hampering them by continually moving them in and out of the lineup.
Yeah, and I think so. Whether that means that it becomes a combination, it could remain unchanged, and then you're using Bo Jackson as a supplement. I don't know what Ohio State. When Ryan Day talked last week about the coaching staff did not have to be, veterans. You didn't have to be in the meeting room to know what talent looks like. Yeah. Those all seemed like very clear signs that Ohio State is aware that he needs to be involved in the offensive game plan. I don't think that they are of the mentality that James Peoples and C.J. Donaldson can no longer do it and that they must make a change or else the offense is going to backslide and they won't be able to run an effective ground game the way they want to. I think that they have things that they like about all three. I just have, in my mind, a difficult time getting to wrapping my mind around the fact that you could break that up into three different legs, yeah, and like 6 to 7 carries for each of them. I don't think that would work. And
I don't think it's doing those guys a service. Like, you're not giving them a chance to really get unhitched.
And I think it's not fair then to, because some of that conversation that I've seen come up, and we got emails about it at the Austin and Berm Show at gmail.com. It's like, well, Bo Jackson can be the primary running back, but I still like what C.J. Donaldson is doing, but he's just a short yardage back. I don't think that that's how Ohio State views C.J. Donaldson at all. We saw it throughout camp, but also in the first couple weeks and on a play against Ohio where he's out in the flat and wide open for a touchdown. I think there's a ton of confidence in him as a receiving threat out of the backfield. Yeah. He's got a background in some of that as well. So,
I mean, he was a tight end in high school and a wide receiver. But there's also the other side of that coin, which is if C.J. Donaldson is your short yardage power back, he had a 2-yard run against Ohio where he had a one-on-one situation with a safety at the goal line and got picked up and slammed. Yeah. I mean, so if that's your power back, then maybe that's not the right option. But, to your point, I don't think that's how Ohio State sees him. He doesn't, and he sure as hell doesn't see himself that way.
No, and that's what it looked like he was going to be, yeah, when he was brought in and he was 248 pounds arriving from West Virginia. He has speed.
Yeah.
He, whether that's a product of feeling out the offense, Ohio State finding the right way to unleash the ground game, I think we've also seen a lot of predictability from the run game that, same conversation that we were having 3 or 4 years ago about runs out of certain formations or stretch to the boundary popping up at certain times again that makes you feel like maybe Ohio State is still working through not just who it needs at running back, yeah, but the best way to use them all. I think that that's a fair question to ask. I don't think that there is a personnel deficiency with anyone on the Ohio State offensive line that they can't get the job done, even though we talked about maybe there's a door that's opened at right guard. And we can ask that question as well that came up last week. I don't think the answer would be any different, so I don't know if we have to belabor it. But I think all three backs and all the offensive linemen, and even Julian Sand with some mobility of his own that probably doesn't get enough credit, they can operate whatever ground game they want. I just don't – you've brought up this point with the passing attack and the overall scheme. I don't know that they've landed on an actual identity for what they want to do, and that seems to be – to me, more of the issue rather than, Bo Jackson has to go out there and then everything will be fine.
Yeah, we're going to find out on Saturday because there's going to be situations where Ohio State's in the red zone and after the struggles against Ohio where the Buckeyes may try to do some different stuff, and we're going to figure out real early if Ryan Day is in the mindset of we're going to prove how tough we are, we're going to go out there and we're going to run it no matter what, we're going to prove it, or if he's going to say, you know what, we got a lot of weapons. We can get Julian outside. We can let him do some stuff with his legs. We can open up other areas. I think that we're like, I hope we're in the next era of Ryan Day's, evolution as a head coach, where the whole we're going to prove how tough we are thing is out the window, and like you just do what you have to do to get the points on the board. But there's certainly going to come a point this season when the Buckeyes are going to need to be able to run the ball inside of the 10-yard line.
Yeah.
And so who's the best guy to do that? How do you figure that out when guys are only getting 6-7 carries? I just don't know that it's a full picture of what the running back group is going to be.
And I think that may be also tied into this conversation. When you're playing Grambling in Ohio and the stakes aren't the highest, you have different experimental options with personnel, with scheme, what's going to stick, what doesn't. You throw a bunch out there and you see what happens. Or maybe you don't show a ton. I don't know. It could be a combination of like both of those things, that it wasn't the most exotic scheme. Like, who can execute this core part of the game plan the best? And that, it could have looked better. I'm not saying that everything is hunky-dory with the ground game, and once they get into the Big Ten, it's going to be fine. It also doesn't mean to me that the return of prove how tough you are Ryan Day is looming as a threat in the background, because they do need to find out what they can and can't do.
Yeah.
And there's going to be opportunities to do that against Washington. This is not a talent-equated situation, not a talent-equated defense.
No, but it is a game that if you allow them to hang around, it can become one that's tighter than it should be. Again, this is a very interesting Washington team. I don't want to say they're good. Like, Damon Williams is very talented. I'm trying to think about in the Ryan Day era at Ohio State, is there any quarterback they've really played that is similar to that? And the only guy I can come up with a little bit is like Dylan Gabriel, but Gabriel was more of a opportunist when it came to the run game. It wasn't a core part of their offense, where as it is for Washington and the design runs. But Dylan was more of a, I'll get out and scramble. But I just don't know that you've seen a guy like this. So this game can be wonky if you let it be. And I think that the only way Ohio State really lets it be is if they decide to tinker in a game where you don't need to tinker. You just need to go out there and do what you do best.
There's maybe some like J.J. McCarthy elements to it.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, I guess that's close.
I don't think there's a perfect comparison for it, because I don't think JJ had nearly the top.
Tua Tito. I mean, even that was not. Talia Tagovailoa was not. Again, a lot of like planned runs, a lot of design quarterback run. I just don't know.
Just enough. Yeah.
It's just not. It's just not a skill set you regularly see. And so, the Matt Patricia's comparison for Damon Williams was Kyler Murray. Kyler Murray was the number one overall pick in the NFL draft and one of the greatest high school football players in the history of the country, and a guy who was also a Major League Baseball draftee. So like,
and a Heisman Trophy winner.
And a Heisman Trophy. Like, so the praise there, that has me saying, well, okay, Ohio State's on high alert for this dude to do some special stuff. And so, again, to my argument is, like, for the Buckeyes offense, because I don't think this game is going to come down to, like, Washington being able to stop Ohio State, unless Ohio State stops themselves.
Right.
So, like, do what you do best. And Washington's defensive backfield is not very good. They're one of the worst in the country as far as allowing pass yards and completion. So just go out there and do what you do. This is not the week to tinker. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. If you got to put in a request that had to be honored for any Ohio State player on Wednesday night at the Woody, who do you most want to talk to right now?
Jeremiah Smith. Can you tell me if maybe you think I'm crazy here?
Okay.
Am I crazy? I believe that he's been mad about something the first couple weeks.
Mm.
Do you sense like a feistiness out of him on the field that maybe he was not there a year ago? Like, I don't know if maybe he's getting cheap-shotted more often or something's pissing him off, but he just seems a little angry.
I think he is getting cheap-shotted and held, and there was one notable pass interference that was not called against Texas. Whether that would be on his mind.
Like, he almost got in a fight against Ohio.
I don't know what it is. You're on the field, Berm, so you might have a better feel for that. I've got I'm in great seats.
He just,
but I'm very far away from them. So
he
I don't
seems
know
a little on edge, and it's not affecting his productivity or anything. Obviously, He just had a career high in catches, but something seems to be making him angry, and I'd like to know what it is. And also, I'd like to talk to him about his brother who committed to Ohio State on Sunday.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, we...
Were you surprised by that?
I mean, a little bit, just in the timing of it. And we saw Angelo, his younger brother, a 2027 defensive back, in the summer. He was on campus for camp in June. And you can tell, like, the athletic traits are pretty similar, but... Angelo's 5'10 and a half.
It's in a smaller package.
Yeah, he's 5'10 and a half and JJ's 6'4". So, like, you don't know eventually if Angelo grows, I think. But athletically, he's a really good player, really super competitive, plays with a chip on his shoulder for a younger guy and a smaller guy in the secondary. So I understand why Ohio State said yes, for sure. It also speaks volumes about Ohio State as a program that a player like Jeremiah Smith, who could go anywhere in the world and would be – given anything he could possibly ask for.
Could demand that his brother be given
right.
the same thing.
And Angelo is choosing to commit to Ohio State this early. Says a lot about the program, to be honest. But I would like to talk to JJ just to kind of get a sense. Because he certainly can't be frustrated by, like, the opportunities he's getting. He's been thrown to more in the last 3 weeks than I can recall any Ohio State receiver getting targeted in 3 week stretch. So, but there's a little pissed off occasion on him, and I can sense it.
Yeah, I don't know what's causing it, but the great ones always...
I could be completely wrong, but I don't think so.
But I think, you know, there's that... He's, I think, spoken in the past about that constantly trying to reach the next level, you know, that Michael Jordan mentality, that I took that personally, that the Mamba mentality, the Kobe Bryant, the, like, looking for slights, looking for motivation... Yeah. And if you could factor that in with, you know, Ohio State not being quote-unquote perfect, even in those games, certainly against Texas and in some respects not even against Ohio, despite his production, like, he's going to continue, I think, to push that. You want your leaders, you don't want them satisfied. You don't want that complacency. I think the last thing that Jeremiah Smith would ever be accused of is getting complacent and resting on his laurels. That was the theme of that whole athletic story saga over the summer with those. That was the crux of the story, and it got diverted by some of the other comments that were in it. It was like, no, I'm going to go. Maybe it's because he's not getting enough good food.
It's possible, or it could be just a combination, like comparing him to Carnell Tate, who is so, like, even-keeled and unemotional all the time. Maybe, like, even the slightest bit of emotion from Jeremiah seems like it's, like, a big deal because I'm contrasting him to Carnell, but it definitely seems like.
But I think you have to have that.
Yeah.
Because when I think about the veteran leadership that Ohio State had last year and some of the pissed offness, the edge, how many times when you saw Quinshon or Travion come to the sideline, did they look really happy to be doing that?
Almost never.
Very rarely. How many practices over 4 years did we see Emeka, like, reading a riot act about the standard on the practice field and taking that over to games? A lot. Mm-hmm. Jack Sawyer, same deal. I mean, I think it's a fair point because he does look like he is maybe carrying himself. I'm not close enough to know what is being said, how, why, or what's caused it. But unless it's like I want to be targeted 25 times a game, which I don't think it's that, then I'd be like, well, what's bringing this mentality out on you? Because I think Ohio State needs it. I think they would like it.
Yeah. I don't. I want to be clear. Like, I'm not saying I think he's being a diva or like he's pissed off just because he's not getting the football enough or the offense is struggling. Yeah. Like, I just think he's getting cheap shotted a lot. He's being held all the time, and I think he's just getting a little frustrated by how it's allowed to persist. It's like the Hack-a-Shaq almost. Like, he's only 6'3" and 218 pounds, so it's not like. This is a guy who's an unfair physical matchup. So,
he is.
I mean, he's unfair because of what the size and the athleticism and the speed and everything else that he does. But it's not the same as Shaquille O'Neal, who was 7'3" and 330 pounds, and you had no choice but to, like, hold on for dear life. Jeremiah is a wide receiver, and he's being held all the time. So it's a little frustrating for him. But I just want to hear him say it. That's all.
You don't want to speculate on it?
Yeah, I just want to, because it just seems like he's annoyed, and I can understand why. He's been, like I said, a lot of cheap shots, a lot of little stuff like that seems to be getting under his skin.
Well, the time for answers is fast approaching. We'll be back in the Woody Hayes Athletic Center later on Tuesday to hear from Ryan Day. We'll be in there on Wednesday evening to hear from the players, maybe an assistant coach or two. Who knows? We haven't seen the list yet, but we'll get all of that as the Buckeyes get ready to head out to Seattle, Washington, preview that matchup, the first Big Ten game. We'll have snap judgments after both of those media opportunities. So getting back in that rhythm. Only had one a snappy J last week. It didn't feel quite right. It was great to get away a little bit, have an off week for the Buckeyes, I'm sure. See their families, rest, recover, get ready for this grind that's ahead with three road trips in 4 weeks. But that first one will come with the Buckeyes leaving on Thursday. Full coverage, as always, coming your way on the Austin and Berm Show. We will check back in later after we hear from Ryan Day with those snappy Jays. This is Talkin' Tuesday, though. He's Berm. I'm Austin.